Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, friends. We'll see about that. I am Mike Airy sitting in for Ron Say. He will be returning next week, and he has some stories to tell, folks. Make sure to check out next week's episode. It's going to be a special one, I think. So today we're going to open up the archives and revisit an interview Ron did with Dodger legend Sean Green. It's a fantastic interview, a lot of insight into the mental aspects of baseball, specifically hitting, and there's nothing I like more than having two former MLB greats sit down and discuss all the nuances of the mental and physical game of baseball. Some say is the hardest game in the world to play. So make sure to stick around for that. As always, all episodes of this high-quality broadcast, We'll See About That, are available as podcasts on Spotify, on Google, on Apple. Just search for We'll See About That with Ron Say. Please rate, subscribe, and review. That really helps us find a new audience, and that really appreciates that. And make sure to check out Ron's fantastic book, Penguin Power. It's available wherever fine books are sold and Amazon.com. So make sure to check that out as well. So a lot of things going on right now in the world of sports, specifically in baseball. The Dodgers, as we speak right now, are hot. The Padres are not. And I did see earlier in the week, though, that Tatis Jr. stole home. And that's one of the rare things you ever see in baseball, especially in the modern game. Perhaps that's due now to the most recent rule changes where stealing and speed and base running is more coveted, more amplified, and more effective. And I think personally that makes for a much more exciting game. I haven't really noticed the difference between the time changes in the game. And I know the league was trying to really shorten the games for, I guess, our modern limited attention spans and also for media reasons. But I really can't tell the difference between, a 2 hour and 30 minute game between a 2 hour and 15 minute game. So it's all pretty much the same to me. So, and also a lot of stuff going on in college football, college sports at large with conference realignments. Who's going to be the college left without a conference? It seems that the Pac-12 is no more. A lot of teams are going to, following the money, you might say, heading to the Big 12, Big 10, a lot of these conferences that have built-in media deals that will provide cash for these schools. So I don't know. College sports, a lot of things are changing, be it NIL, be it conference realignment, be it the changing media landscape, but it's interesting to see. So stick around, folks. Right after the break, we're going to revisit one of our great interviews here from the archives with Sean Green. Stay with us, folks.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com. Allegretto.com.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and forged cuisine at Cello Ristorante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. AllegrettoResort.com.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
They still call me the Penguin. And we have returned. We'll see about that. Ron Say here, Mike Gary, and I have a very special guest today, a player that had a 15-year career in the major leagues, Toronto, the Dodgers, the Mets, Arizona, over 300 home runs, 1,000 RBIs, 2,000 hits, two-time All-Star, had an incredible run, a guy that is a friend of mine, Sean Green. Sean, welcome to the show. Very happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you guys.
So you grew up in Illinois. That's where you were born. You were bouncing around a few places before you settled in Tustin, California in 1985. And your dad was a basketball player at DePaul, you know, a baseball. He wanted to start this academy. Tell us a little bit about that academy that he started back then.
Yeah, so it sort of just started is after I was already playing, but so growing up, it kind of goes way back to my roots. I lived from basically my grammar school years in San Jose, and we had a kid on my team that had a pitching machine, and he had a pool in his yard. We didn't have, basically just had nothing in our side yard, just a bunch of tan bark and stuff, and so they wanted to do some practices there, and so he said, hey, can we put the machine in your yard? And my dad said, sure, we'll put a net up. So we put a net up and had a batting cage. And you know, a couple of years later, he took his machine back when we weren't on the same team anymore. And at that point, we had this net. So my dad got a pitching machine. And so I just hit all the time. And that's really, I think, what kind of separated me at a young age from other kids is I was getting a lot of reps. And kind of fast forward to, you know, once I was playing professionally, my dad was kind of, you know, he became a student of hitting as I was, you know, in my youth years trying to figure out, you know, the Ted Williams book or Charlie Loud and all this stuff, all the years that the Penguin was dominating. And we were trying to figure out, what was making him so good and all of his peers. But so he kind of got pretty good at it and started working with some kids. And so he had a tiny little space and just had maybe one or two cages in there. And then all of a sudden, something opened up that was a big warehouse, and he decided to go for it. And he put together, you know, I helped fund it a little bit at this point. I'm in the big leagues, and he put together a nice little facility called the Baseball Academy that was kind of a staple in Orange County for a number of years.
Now, he had a number of players that graduated from his academy that went to the big leagues. You and Aaron Boone and Freddie Freeman, to mention a few of them. Did you guys have access to tapes back then? Were you using tapes much back then in the learning process?
I mean, a little bit. It was the old school, you know, recorders that had the two decks, or maybe it was at that point it was just like, you know, a big recorder. But yeah, we do a little bit. It was more about just getting the reps. And by the time he had started that, I was already in the big leagues and had a good idea of what I was trying to do. And all the big league guys that lived in the area, which, as you know, there's tons in Orange County, LA, right. Most of those guys would come in and hit there in the off seasons. And then guys like Freddie, you know, at the time, towards the latter part of my career, he was, 13, 14 year old, and he was in Orange County. And so my dad gave him private lessons. He gave a few other guys some private lessons. It's one thing to have, as long as someone's pointing you in the right direction, it comes down to you figuring it out as well, and getting those reps and being the one that's in there on a daily basis taking swings.
You know, obviously each era of baseball changes dramatically. And in our era, you know, we went a lot on feel. We didn't have access to a lot of video until probably the mid-80s. And, soft toss was maybe a little bit a part of it. Hitting off the tee was a little bit a part of it. But we just like to hit on the field, take our swings in the batting cage, and it's changed so much. Did you guys use those other fundamental things as well? Hitting off the tee?
Yeah, I was much more of a field guy. So the tee became my thing. So really what happened is, my first 3 years in Toronto, I was platooning and I was playing really well, you know, was hitting high 280s with, you know, mid-teens home runs, and was kind of frustrated not getting the chance to face lefties. Even though we were, you know, pretty far out in the division races, I'd still be platooning. And then my third year, I kind of had a rift with the philosophy of the hitting coach and the manager. Wanted, actually, you mentioned John Olerud.
Yeah.
They wanted both of us to start pulling the ball. You know, basically we were both kind of gap to gap guys. Mm-hmm. And as you remember Ole's swing with hitting 360, it was line drives to left center field, line drives to right center field. And that was kind of, I was similar to him both physically, but our swings were pretty similar and our approach was similar. So they would force us to do all these drills, just like hooking balls. And we both struggled. So I got to the point where I was on the bench. Ole was a batting champion, so he was still playing, but it ultimately got traded to the Mets after the season. And when I was on the bench, I kind of had it in with the hitting coach where I tried to sneak in there whenever he wasn't in there to hit the ball up the middle. And he told me I couldn't go there without a supervision. So it kind of was like a big rift for me, in the sense that I just said, okay, fine. I just grabbed the batting tee and started hitting into the net. And over time, and I was also into kind of the mental side of the game, the Eastern, I try to, you know, meditation and get your head right and all that type of stuff. And so I kind of learned to put that aspect of my world into hitting. And so mm-hmm. I would really concentrate on my breathing and really focus and try to be super present in my swings and feel my body and just kind of really get into it and into that, kind of try to create that flow state as much as I could. And so after a few weeks of that, you know, I kind of started working through different things in my swing, and things started to click. I used to dive in too much and I get tied up inside with fastballs. And so I kind of straightened that stuff out. And then I went to this. It's kind of a longer story than you probably asked for, but
it's okay.
So at this point, I'm on the bench and I go to the GM at the time, Gord Ash. I said, "Hey, I'm not playing. Can you trade me?" And so he said, "Give me a couple weeks. We'll see." And all of a sudden, all these rumors are flying. I'm getting traded here, there, Baltimore, St. Louis, all these places. And so what ultimately happened is he went to the manager and said, "Hey, you got to play him every day, and I'll get his stock up." And we can trade him because we're not going to get anything for a guy sitting on the bench. So my first start back after like a few weeks of this kind of this tee work was I faced Greg Maddux, and I went 3-for-5 with two home runs, 3-for-5 with two home runs, and just kind of basically just went off for like playing every day for like the next month. And that's, I basically started playing every day at that point and didn't get traded until it was kind of a different scenario. But the tea became kind of my daily vitamins, right? I would go there often by myself and just focus on hitting the ball, listen to the sound of the net. And it was one of my favorite kind of most sacred parts of the day.
That sounds like something like almost a meditative experience, hitting the solitude, hitting the tee.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And the sounds of and the cage in Toronto had really good acoustics too, which I loved. So it would hit the net and it's kind of like that nice sound of a swoosh in basketball, but it was even louder in Toronto. So it would make me feel like I was just really locked in, see the trajectory of the ball, put the ball in the tee with the seams the same way, take a breath. So that became my thing, and it lasted throughout my career.
I wish now the way that you fondly speak of it, I wish we would have had that a little bit earlier introduced into our era of baseball, because I'd really never got to use it. And it's not that we wouldn't have, it's just that we had our own way of doing things, and obviously through technology and other things, they change. Just a quick note, Gary Matthews, I spoke to Gary last week, and he said that he does think very highly of you, and he wanted me to say hello when I had you on the show. He said that your experience there with him was a very good one on both ends.
Yeah, and that's, I was going to mention too, he came in after that season as my hitting coach, and he was my favorite hitting coach that I had. He was much more of kind of a cheerleader slash like kind of give you a hard time if you're like, well, come on, let's go, what are you doing, that type of thing, and less about your hands are here, your stride is there.
One of the things that I remember about him is when he was first playing is that every time he'd come out of the box after he'd get a base hit, he'd clap his hands. That's how he'd get my attention. We're going to take a break right after this. We'll be right back with Sean Green. Thank you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. And we are back. We'll see about that. Special guest here, Sean Green. And Sean, I want to take you back just a little bit. You were a scholar athlete, and you're one of those fortunate guys to be able to have a scholarship and go to Stanford. Tell me a little bit about your experience with that.
Yeah, so I was, I signed to play at Stanford, which was kind of, you know, a dream come true for me. And then I got drafted in the first round by the Blue Jays, and I was a little torn, but I actually then ended up breaking my thumb maybe a week into the summer. So they weren't really negotiating, and you know, I couldn't have gone and played in you know, the summer league or extended spring anyway. So I just kind of the summer kind of went on. I ended up going to Stanford, and at that time, if you walked into class, then you were no longer eligible.
Right.
To play, you know, at the school. I mean, sorry, no longer eligible to sign. And so I was there. I went to the first baseball practice, and then the Blue Jays came in and offered me, you know, a lot of money at the time, which was like, I think around $700,000. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna sign. So I tell my dad. He goes, well, you got to go be a man and go tell the, you know, the head coach Mark Markwis what you're gonna do. And at this point, we had Sean Estes signed with the Mariners, right, and another player signed. So Marquis had like two players ever signing him, but now the money is getting to the point where guys are starting to take off, right, on him. And it's really hard at Stanford to keep guys because they can't just go grab a junior college player. You have to have the right, you know, academic profile as well.
Correct.
So as I was walking over there, he called my dad. Long story short, he ended up flipping me, and I said, okay, I'm going to stay. And then I talked to a couple guys on the team and said, why take the money? And so I ended up signing. And so I stayed there and went in for a couple of quarters for the first 2 years. And then I had to start playing winter ball and stuff like that. So I got enough of the college experience, never finished, but I didn't actually get a chance to play there.
Yeah, I actually played against Mark when he was a All-American.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I go back that far. Yeah.
So were you at Washington State?
Yeah, 1 year. Yeah, we only played 38 right. games up there because we were no freshman eligibility. So I was able to sign after my sophomore year. So, yeah, 38 years of college experience. Yeah. Did you have a favorite player growing up when you were young?
Yeah, I had a lot of favorite players. So early on when I was in San Jose, it was Ricky Henderson because he was stealing all his bases.
Sure.
And then I started watching all the left-handed hitters and trying to emulate them. So Rod Carew was one of my guys.
Yeah.
And then obviously like the mid-80s, there was that great stretch where you had Mattingly, Boggs, Tony Gwynn. So I was just trying to study those guys and see what they did. And you know, I used to try to hit like Mattingly. I put his baseball card in my right. in my hat for good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say from just a guy who impacted my, you know, my approach as a hitter the most as a kid, it was probably Mattingly.
Yeah. You know, after you...
I will say that, you know, my dad was always a big Cubs fan. So in 84, I was watching, I'd get home from school and watch all your games. So that was...
Well, we were one of the most, one of the two best watched teams along with the Braves back then, WTBS. So, yeah, Harry Carey was going wild in between drinks.
That's
on
right.
The show, yeah.
For people who don't know, during the TBS, and this was the Superstation,
right.
It was one of the very first cable channels that was on almost all cable systems, and they carried Braves and they carried
yeah.
Cubs games.
Yeah.
And so that's why you see so many yeah. Braves and Cubs fans.
Yeah, we were the most watched teams in America at the time, you know, and now, of course, every game's on. But, you know, after you got settled in, your last 2 years with the Blue Jays, and then you get traded to the Dodgers, and then those first 3 years, I'm going to just remind you a little bit of something here. Over that 5-year period, you averaged 38 home runs,
and 112 runs batted in. And you had 2 years back-to-back, 01 and 02, 49 and 125, and then 42 and 114. Those are two of the best years I think I've seen in a while back-to-back. You must have been feeling pretty good. That tee must have been working pretty well for you at that time.
Yeah, no, it was a good stretch. I think the middle year in there, when I first got to L.A., I felt like I signed this big contract, so I was chasing the home runs. And now, you know, it's like I was looking, oh, last year this time I had 15 home runs. This year I had 10, so I was like, I need to hit more home runs. So it's kind of that, and I just was jumping the ball. But I was able to settle down a little bit the next year. And as you know, it's always harder to kind of slow things down because you always want to go faster, right, and jump at the ball. So it took a lot of discipline, but I was able to do that. And once I was pretty streaky, so I get locked in. Even the year I hit 42 after the 49, you know, I'd have 1 month where I'd hit two or three home runs, and all of a sudden I'd hit 10 or 12. So it's just kind of
kind of a home run mentality. You know, you do. When you get hot, you go for quite a while, and then you get cold a little bit, and then you find your way back. But, you know, you had this epic day that I have to talk about. To me, I think this is right at the top of anybody that's ever played this game. This one game I would have loved to have had. Tell us a little bit about your day on May 23rd of 2002 when you hit four home runs and had a double, six runs scored, seven RBIs, and 19 total bases.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy time because I'd start off the season after the 49 home runs, and I only had three home runs about a quarter of the way through the season, late May, and I was getting booed in L.A. So we were playing the Mets, and I didn't hit a ball to the infield. Then we're playing the Expos, and I didn't hit a ball to the infield until the last at bat, and I hit a double to snap an 0-for-18. So at this point, I'm hitting like 230 with three home runs and getting booed. So I'm just happy to go on the road, so I don't have to hear the boos. We go to Milwaukee, and I've been just working in the cage and starting. Basically, I just spread out my stance, and I'm not going to stride because I'm jumping at the ball again. And I did that for a couple days. And go to Milwaukee, and in the first game, I didn't even stride at all in the game, or at least I felt like I wasn't. Probably took a tiny stride. And I end up hitting two home runs. So, okay, it's coming. And then the next day, I hit a triple and scored against Ben Sheets, who was a tough young pitcher at the time. Mm-hmm. And we won 1-0. And so the next day, it's a day game. It's a really early game. I think it was like a 12 o'clock, one of those kind of school games where they had a bunch of kids there or something. And I the first at-bat is against a lefty. So when you face a lefty, it's like, okay, I'd love to just sneak a hit in early and, you know, try to have a decent day. And had a full count and just kind of squeaked one ground ball down the first baseline for a double. So it's like, all right, I got that hit under my belt. Next at-bat. I kind of knew at this point that they're going to pound me in because that was kind of always the
line
plan of attack against me. Yeah, that was a plan of attack. And so I was just kind of ready for a fastball. And he got in a little bit on me, but it was a hot day game. So the ball carried and went out to right. And then once you hit a couple like that, you kind of know how they're going to pitch you. And the next at bat, I was kind of ready for this reliever comes in, a right-handed reliever, and he threw me kind of hung a slider, and I was ready for something soft and hit it out to right center. Then I'm facing the same guy, and now I'm like, okay, he's staying away now. And he throws me a fastball away, first pitch, and I hit it out to left field. So now I'm trying to get that fourth home run. So the next at bat, I'm facing another guy out of the bullpen, and probably the hardest ball I hit that day was a pitch like shin high, and I was trying to lift it, but I just hit a line drive base hit up the middle. Couldn't get it in the air. And then Jim Tracy told me, he said, hey, why don't you, our manager said, hey, why don't you go in and shower up? We're heading to Arizona the next day.
Not me.
I'm sorry, we're heading that day. And I said, well, you know, I might get a couple guys get on. I might get another shot at it. So he said, all right, stay in there. He's just happy I'm finally, finally squaring the ball up. Yeah. And sure enough, in the ninth inning with two outs, Adrian Beltre hits a home run, gets me another at bat, and I'm facing that same pitcher that I hit the base hit off of, and he throws me one, I think a 1-1 pitch, thigh high, and I crushed it to right center field. But I guess one of the crazy things about it was, we didn't know this, but there was a promotion where someone picks a player to hit for the cycle, and if they do, that fan wins $1 million. So some lady picked me that day, So, you know, had I not touched home plate, some lady would have won $1 million. So I'm happy I bet I didn't have to make that decision.
Oh, my God. Base, right? Yeah. Oh, she hates you. She absolutely hates you.
I'm sure she told that story too.
Well, so much for the businessman special. I mean, my God, that is unbelievable. You know, the cerebral part of how you dissected this whole thing, it was fascinating.
And just to put it into perspective, too, we talked about, you know, Domingo Germán's perfect game, only 24 perfect games in the history of Major League Baseball. Four home run games, only 18, and Mr. Sean Green's one of those 18.
Yeah, I still think that in Dodger history, at least, there's no question that was probably the greatest single game in history. But I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with you, along with Mike Piazza, who broke my rookie RBI record, Eric Kraros, who broke my all-time Dodger home run record, James Loney, who broke my single RBI home record game, Andre Ethier broke...
How many was that?
Eight. And Ethier broke my consecutive hit streak at nine. And you broke my L.A. Dodger longest consecutive games on base streak, 53. So, yeah, you're just I don't have too many left, you know. I'm running out. That's I've got a couple left. I think I've got walks and game-winning RBIs, the only two that are still standing.
Sean, when did the Hall of Fame come asking for that bat? Because I understand that bat is in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, so that bat kept going. So it went the first pitch I saw the next day. So that was 6-for-6 with four home runs. The next day, the first pitch I saw of Curt Schilling, I hit it out. So it was seven straight with five home runs. And then I had two more hits that night. And then the next night, I had three hits with two home runs. The last one was a broken bat to left center field home run. And so that was the same bat. And I gave it to Hall of Fame as soon as it was done. I wasn't going to give it up until it was done. And yeah, so that was so it was a crazy week. So I hit nine home runs in five games.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll finally remember that. And I have a couple more. Pedro Guerrero's on my list now, too. We'll be right back after this.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
It's the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELOQUIS.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say.
It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And in This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial, Fernando Valenzuela. He throws a no-hitter against the Cardinals. Mr. El Toro had 7 strikeouts and 3 walks on 117 pitches, and the Dodgers beat the Cardinals 6-0 against the Oakland. And also on that same day, interestingly enough, Oakland A's Dave Sturt also threw a no-hitter on that same day against the Blue Jays. It's the first time two pitchers threw no-hitters on the same day since 1917.
Wow. That's, you know, I actually did that broadcast on Sports Channel.
Really?
Yeah, I did. We were doing Sports Channel, did that for a few years, and I did that broadcast, actually. And this is the one where Benny says, let's throw your sombrero to the sky.
That's correct. It's a famous classic Benny quotes.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. And speaking of history, we have, you know, Mr. Sean Green, 4 home runs in one game, 6-for-6. Yeah. And he's got a lot of interesting things going on right now.
Yes, he does. And I'm going to just, before we get to that, I'm going to mention Pedro Guerrero. He reminded me of one more. Consecutive times reaching base. I did it 11 times. And Pedro was the one who broke it with 12. So, thanks, guys. I mean, just keep taking and racing me. Yeah, it was.
This is the whole reason that Ron wanted to have you on, Sean, to air these grievances.
That's right.
All right.
I love it.
So anyway, we've discussed a lot about your career. I'm kind of interested in what you're doing today more. You know, you've got this company you'd probably like to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, so I co-founded about 9-10 years ago. It's called Greenfly, and it's a software infrastructure platform. So we work with most leagues around the world, and especially the biggest leagues, but also small ones where the players have our app on their phone. The staff, a lot of them who are capturing photos and videos for use on social, are capturing it on our platform, or we integrate with all the different software platforms like Getty Images, or, you know, the ones that, you know, folks like John Suhu with the Dodgers, like the ones that they'll use to store their photos. And we read all of the data on the photos, and our platform routes it automatically. So the players will get off the field or the court or the golf course, and they'll have all of their photos and photo highlight or video highlights from that game and from, you know, throughout their careers on our app. And then whatever they choose to download or share, our system will track it so that the league and the teams will have visibility. And the teams could also have access. So if the Dodgers are playing the Giants, there'll be an MLB staff member using our technology to capture all these photos. And both teams will then have access to those photos for their social channels or for broadcast or for the sponsors. If there's a sponsor logo in the background of a photo or video, and someone hits a game winning home run and you could see that sponsor's logo, then we could automatically recognize that and then they could send that to that sponsor so they have that content. So it's basically just a way to manage all of the photos and videos and get it out, distributed to all the little micro accounts that should have access to it.
Do you supply that service to all major league clubs?
Yep, all 30 clubs, NBA, NBA, NHL, wow. You know, Olympics, PGA Tour, all of them, they're all using our software now.
So that's fantastic.
Like 95% NBA players and MLB players have our app on their phone and are using it on a regular basis. Sometimes it'll be also their you know, they might have a social media manager or agent or something that's on there doing it, doing things on their behalf. But, yeah, they all get their content. Sometimes they'll even have their mom on there, because I feel like maybe it was Aaron Judge or someone wanted, someone's mom wanted to have access to all their son's photos and videos. And so they just give them an account and they get access to it as well.
So you must have quite a working crew then. It sounds like a very, very business job, big time job.
Yeah, I mean, we're about 50. We have about 50 employees, and so my co-founder is my cousin, who's, you know, super smart guy. He was president of Harvard Law Review, so you know, brilliant guy. And he'd recently moved out to LA to work at Activision Blizzard, you know, the video game company. So, and he got intrigued by what I was doing, which was something much simpler, and he came in and turned it into, you know, kind of the business opportunity that it's become. And it evolves. You know, you get good customers and then you listen to what they need, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. If the NBA needs that and MLB needs that, then it's probably something we should spend some time. Cause we have, you know, we have really good, you know, product engineer folks that are building this stuff and analyzing, you know, what needs to be, what's next, you know, what are we going to focus on?
And you can find more information about this company at greenfly.com. That's greenfly.com. And Sean, you know, running this company sounds like a fantastic business you're running there. How do you have time to hit the old golf course nowadays?
Yeah, no, I definitely have time. I mean, it's, I guess that's the good thing about having, you know, really smart people that can, you know, I'm involved, definitely in the day to day, but I'm also, I'm kind of, you know, I'm more of like becoming more on the sounding board for my CEO. So he'll say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And then we have our executive meetings, which I'm involved in, and, you know, our board meetings and things like that. But, you know, I'm not as involved as I was with a, you know, a 10-person team that we had a few years ago in like going out and trying to close deals and do that type of stuff. There's people that are, you know, much better at that than I am.
Was this a plan back then? You know, going to Stanford, I'm pretty sure you thought about life after baseball. Did you have anything else on your mind at that time, what you might want to do?
No, but I was always intrigued. I wanted to do something outside of baseball, you know, and obviously this touches baseball, but
yeah,
I was always intrigued and curious and wanted to learn different things. And, you know, after I wrote a book, kind of about, as I was talking earlier, about kind of the tea with the Eastern approach to baseball, and called The Way of Baseball, finding stillness at 95 miles per hour. And that was, I wrote that about, you know, 11, 12 years ago. And so I always, that was kind of a bucket list thing that I always wanted to get something down on paper. And then starting a business sort of just happened. You meet different people and get intrigued by kind of the startup world. And I was always really into the technology and Silicon Valley and stuff like that. So it's not like I had this vision for a long time, but I wanted to do something like this for sure.
You know, speaking of technology, new technology, you know, we have a much different game being played today, and we have all kinds of different rules and regulations and the way they hit, the launch angle, all of that. What are your thoughts on this basic stuff that's taking place today?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can I say that was an amazing segue to that? I love that.
It's very nice. Very,
very, very nice impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I'm on the same page as you with this. I think most former players, I feel like it's gotten just out of control. I think so much gets missed when you try to break things down into, you know, when you slow down a video and watch and you see the launch angle or whatever it is, it's different than what you're trying to do at the plate. You're trying, I mean, it's almost the exact opposite of what I was trying to do. I was trying to swing down, get backspin. And yeah, if I'm a little bit late to create more space, I'm going to kind of, my body's going to naturally lean back a little bit. My arms are going to, you know, and it's just what you need to do to compensate for a guy throwing 95 miles an hour. So I think it's gotten pretty crazy. I mean, my whole approach was to hit the ball with backspin, mm-hmm. and create, I'm sure it was creating launch angle, but that's not
right.
I like to view hitting as you want to see, where do you want to hit the ball? What do you want to do? And your body figures out how to do it. And I think that's, a much better way, because it also keeps you in that right side of your brain, which is more that flow state. But even when towards the end of my career, they started breaking down all the numbers. This guy throws, you know, 82% fastballs first pitch, and this percentage, you know, 02 or whatever. And if you start thinking that at the plate, I jumped ship on that right away.
Exactly.
I felt like I was paralyzed. I couldn't, because exactly. Now all of a sudden I'm in that left side of my brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I agree. I think you said it perfectly. My opinion of today is that these guys are guessing and pitch and location. There's too many pitches that I think are taken that you can adjust to. You know, I basically was a guy who looked hard and adjusted. So if I was looking fastball away and I got a slider away that's there, I'm after it. I don't know if they do that anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that. And so I was actually like that for a long time. But what I started to do is kind of a somewhere in the middle. So I really paid attention to the 1-0 counts and the 2-1 counts. And in some cases, like 3-2. But 1-0, 2-1 for me, where I called them just pitcher's counts. Not like a big pitcher's count, like 2-0. I'm sorry, big hitter's counts. They were hitter's counts. So 1-0, the pitcher's trying to get back into the at-bat. As I started hitting home runs, I would get more, you know, fastballs in,
right,
soft away. So, but what they would throw down the middle of the plate was a changeup. So if a guy liked his changeup, I started to recognize guys who wanted to throw it 1-0 or 2-1 to get back in the count. And so in those certain situations like that, I would just sit on that all day long. If I got in 1-0, 2-1 count and a guy liked his changeup and I had notes that the guy threw it in those counts, then I would kind of like blackjack. It's like it's not like I would just guess this time and not do it the next time. I would just stick with it. And I would say I hit a lot of my home runs on 1-0 or 2-1 changeups.
You know, I always felt like if a guy wanted to use his changeup and he didn't throw it a whole lot, when he showed it to me early, I was saying thank you. Because I knew he'd come back with it later, and now I've seen it. Instead of seeing it for the first time with two strikes, it makes a difference. At least it did for me.
Yeah, and you probably didn't see a lot of right-handed changeups back in the day. I don't know if they're throwing more to righties now, but you know, even when I played, it was more to lefties. So it's probably a little bit for you. It seemed like back in your era, there was a lot more. Like they challenge you 2-0, they're challenging you.
Yeah, right? It was more of a macho thing. Like, okay, I'm coming after you. You know, and we had different pitches back then too. I mean, the screwball is gone. We had a circle change. We had all kinds of different pitches: palm ball, fork ball, spit ball.
Yeah.
You know, all these changes that are now, all these pitches now are obsolete. And it's funny because now, you know, the progression was fastball, curveball, changeup. And, you know, now they wanted something inside the slider or inside the curveball, or excuse me, above the curveball. So here comes the slider and then here comes the cut fastball. So it's all hard, 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 and then changeup. Looks like it.
Yeah. And I actually think, I've always had this theory that the hitting and the pitching is kind of like a cat and mouse in terms of like eras. And so when I was coming up, the changeup was a big pitch. So the best guys were guys like Pedro Martinez, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine. Like, so there's a lot of that. And it was a lot of it was kind of sinker slider changeup. Yeah. So the best hitters, the swing sort of evolved into sort of kind of that Latin swing with like Edgar Martinez, A-Rod, Juan Gonzalez. It's like kind of that kind of right center as a right hand hitter, that right center power and staying through the ball a long time. And that was a swing that I liked. And so, you know, that's when if you get fooled and got throws a changeup, your bat stays on plane and you can drive it. So I really worked towards that. And I think as that swing became kind of the predominant swing, then all of a sudden pitchers start throwing more cutters, because as a lefty, that was the hardest pitch for a guy like me to hit with long arms, was a good cut fastball.
Hold on 1 second, John. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we are out of time here for this last segment. Sean, I'm sorry we had to cut you off a little bit there, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. It was great speaking with you and catching up with you. I certainly hope that you continued success. Maybe we'll have you back again when you're now the CEO of a bigger company, maybe, huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Enjoyed talking with you.
All right, Sean. Thanks so much again for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
There you have it, folks. Wow, what an interview between two MLB legends, Ron Say and Sean Green, both at one point in their careers wore the Dodger blue. It's amazing to me the amount of recall that these guys have, where they can go back and remember 10, 15, 20, sometimes 25 years ago what the exact count was in a specific situation, what they were feeling, and how that led them even to greater success down the road. It's amazing. It reminds me of kind of LeBron James has a similar kind of recall. Aaron Rodgers, I've seen, remembers specific situations, and it's just it's an amazing thing to hear and to behold the kind of mental aspect that goes into the game. You think these guys are just quote unquote jocks, but really, you know, the amount of mental energy, the amount of preparation, the amount of problem solving that these guys have to exhibit to be successful, I think is just an amazing attribute and something that should be celebrated. So thank you so much once again to Sean Green. It was a fantastic interview, and we hope he returns in the future. So just wrapping things up, we'll see about that. Ron Say, of course, on vacation. He'll be back
next week, and he's got some stories to tell about his experience, and I think that's going to be a very, very interesting episode. So make sure to check that out next week. Also, make sure to check us out as a podcast. We're available wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, all the good ones, all the big ones. Search for We'll See About That with Ron Say. Please rate, subscribe, and review. That really helps us out with the old algorithm. So, and also make sure to check out Ron's fantastic book, Penguin Power. It's available on Amazon.com and also wherever you find books. It's a great read. It's a lot of insight. If you like this show, you'll love the book. So make sure to check that out. So once again, thank you so much. You're listening to We'll See About That and CRN Digital Talk Radio, CRNTalk.com. And make sure to check us out once again on Spotify, Apple, or Google. Make sure, you guys, to tune in next week, because that's going to be a very, very special episode where Ron's going to tell us about his experience on his quote-unquote vacation. I don't want to spoil it, but it's a pretty harrowing tale. So once again, thank you so much for joining us here. I'm Mike Gary. It's been my honor to sit in for these last two episodes and sit in the show as general. So come back with us next week. See y'all later.